many wolves going on back yonder. Y'all may deserve it.
Yeah.
Amen. The Lord stand by me and help me this morning. I want to preach on your miracle is just beyond your excuse. Your miracle is just beyond your excuse. Lord Jesus, we love you.
Help us, Lord.
God, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your service, Lord, and in your
help.
God, thank you for giving us breath to breathe and life to live. Thank you, Lord. Let our eyes open to a new sunrise. God, we thank you, Lord, for touching our pastor today.
Yes.
For touching this nation, Lord. We thank you, God, for every person who has came to this place this morning. God, I pray by the power of the Holy Ghost, God. God, for the anointing of the Lord and the yoke of him that passes him. God, I pray by the power of the Holy Ghost. God, we need to do different than when we came in. With the heart of the church, the heart of the praise, and the glory. For if you bring the Holy Name of Jesus, and the church says, amen. All right, now, I'm already feeling it. You can be seated if you can. Lord, we love you, Jesus. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, Lord.
We find in our text this morning a very familiar story. It is the story of the man who is at the pool of Bethesda. Now, we do not know much about this man. His name is not given. The Bible just simply calls him a certain man. So this morning we could take and put our name where his name could have been. We could say this morning that at the pool of Bethesda there's a man by the name of Luke Saxton.
Yes.
We could say this morning that by the pool of Bethesda there's a young man by the name of Nicholas Alcina.
Yep.
This morning we can stand here and say by the pool of Bethesda there's a man by the name of Anthony Skinner.
Yep.
We can stand here this morning and put your name or put thy name there because the Bible just says it is a certain man.
Yep.
I'll just say this morning in passing, it does not matter your pedigree. It does not matter what your lineage is. It does not matter if you were born in this or raised in this or you came from the gutter. It doesn't matter this morning because Jesus came to save whosoever will.
Thank you, Jesus.
When it comes to the holiness, the Trinitarian Independent Holiness Circle, a lot of people know my name. They know my daddy's name. They know my daddy's reputation. But the Lord has allowed us in these past 2 years to kind of expand our name along the lead of the apostolic movement, not because I'm anything special. It's just because I was able to befriend them and become friends with them. I'm thankful. Amen. The Bible said a good name is rather to be chosen than anything else. Amen. God has allowed me to have a good name. Can I tell you this morning, the texture name is a good name.
Thank
I've never heard anybody say anything bad about the texture.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Come on.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Sister Hunt and I were talking about this again the other day.
Thank you,
that we know a young man who will not go to the place where his dad pastors because he said his dad is a con man. But when I look here this morning, you look around at how much family sits in this assembly with this pastor, and that's a soul that he has a name that is great among his family. And it gives me pleasure and honor to know that we have a man that his family supports and looks up to.
Right.
And they come to church with him. They know who he is outside of the building. They know who he is in everyday life, but yet they still come because it's a testament of a man that Pat needs to
serve. Amen.
Amen. We don't know much about this place called Bethesda.
Yes.
This is the only place we find this place named in the Bible. Our text gives us some insight. Bethesda was by the sheep gate, and it had five porches. The name Bethesda in the Hebrew language means either the house of mercy or the house of grace. That's why this morning, when I started saying here at Bethesda, this is a place of mercy.
Yes.
This is a place of grace. This is not a place of judgment. This is not a place of condemnation. This is not a place where we take and throw rocks, but we extend hands of mercy and love. We reach out to those who are desperate. We reach out to those who are down in their life. And we say, come and see a man that can change your life forever. Amen. This is the house of mercy and grace. But in the Aramaic language, Bethesda means a place of disgrace or shame.
Yes.
They could not get past all the broken, all the hurt, all the sick, all the ill people. Now, I don't know if you know it this morning, but you walked into a building full of imperfect people.
Yeah,
you walked into a place this morning that's full of people who are busted and disgusted. And we walked into a place this morning where we all have our faults and failures. But when we come together, this is the place where God can reside. This is the place where God chose to pour out His Spirit.
Yeah.
He said, if two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. I can look around this little building this morning, and I know there's some people that came in the name of the Lord. I've already felt His presence here. Amen. I feel His presence right now while I stand here behind this sacred desk. This is what I know. The Spirit of the Lord. This is what I know. The Spirit of the Lord. The Bible says there is liberty. So if you came in this morning and you're broken, you came in this morning and you're bound and you're took it, and it's the way to the sea and had you destroyed and had you cast down, can I tell Bethesda.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you.
The Bible gives us an indication of what kind of people were at Bethesda.
Yes.
Amen. It said there lay a great multitude.
A great multitude. Yes.
Of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered.
Many, many, many.
And they were all waiting on the same thing.
Yes.
Amen. Ain't it awesome when we all get together and we get our mind on the same thing?
Yes.
The Bible would say how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil that ran down Aaron's beard and dripped onto his coat. Amen. How awesome it is when we come together with one mind and one accord. And we say, I come to worship the Lord. I come to praise His name. I come to lift Him up because He woke me up this morning.
Yes.
He gave me a new breath to breathe. He gave me a new Sunday to look at. He gave me a new sunrise to behold. Can I tell you, friend, we have more to worship God for than we could ever imagine.
Yes.
Brother Texter mentioned a song. It says, 1, 2, 3, into infinity.
Yes.
Amen. He said, I can't even count that high.
I can't count.
When I was a kid, they sung a song that used to say, count your blessings, name them one by one.
Yes.
Count your many blessings to see what God has done. When you begin to count your blessings, guess what? Worry and doubt and despair seem to just leave because you understand you begin to magnify the Lord. That's what the psalmist said when he said, come and magnify the Lord.
Give me.
Let us exalt His name together. The Bible tells us this man, this certain man, had been here for 38 years.
Wow.
There's something to be said about this man's faithfulness.
That's right.
Now, the Bible doesn't tell us when the water was troubled.
That's right.
It just says a certain season.
A certain season.
So I don't know if it was sporadic.
Yes.
Or it was a time stamp on a calendar.
Yes.
All right, it's the third week of August.
Yes.
That means the water will be troubled.
Yes.
Better make our way to the pool.
Yes.
Or if he stayed there in his predicament on the porch, waiting for the water to be troubled.
Right. Yes.
But for 38 years, he was in this condition.
Yes.
For 38 years, this man had been there close enough to see others get their healing.
Oh, yeah.
To see others get made whole. Some may have been asked him, sir, why have you stayed here for so many years? And the man would say, because I've seen miracles happen here. This is the place where miracles happen.
Yeah.
And I tell you, friend, why do I stay in the church? Because I have seen miracles happen here. I have seen lives transformed. I've seen God take people's lives and turn it around and take a nobody and make a somebody out of
here. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We used to say in Oklahoma all the time, reach the ones nobody wants, and God will make them the person that everybody wants.
Yes.
Amen.
Good.
Brother Ron Pickard, this is my Pickard quote for today. Brother Ron Pickard used to say, amen, give me a house full of alcoholics and drug addicts. They know there's nothing to go back to.
That's right. Good.
Amen.
Right.
They'll serve God because they know there's nothing to turn back to.
Nothing to go back to, yes.
Amen. I find it interesting. The Bible said there was a multitude of impotent folk here at the pool.
Yes.
But Jesus seems to center in on this one man.
Yes, he does.
Maybe it was the fact that this man's faithfulness stood out to Jesus.
Yes.
The Bible says that Jesus knew that this man had been in this case or this situation for a long time. Faithfulness gets God's attention.
Yes, it does.
We find in Acts chapter 10, we read about a man by the name of Cornelius. The Bible says that Cornelius' prayers and alms came up before God as a memorial. Cornelius is a Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
He has no right to the apostolic doctrine up to this point. He has no heritage in God. He's not Jew. He's not a Samaritan. He's not half Jew. He is a full-blown Gentile. And so the gospel was not even really presented unto him. But he understood that there is somebody that is greater than him. They understood that there is a God that he saw perhaps touch other people. And he said, I want this God to be my God. I want the God of that person to be my God.
Yes.
Amen. I heard a story of a preacher the other day. He said that he went to church at 14 years old off a bus route, and he'd never been to church before in his life. His mom was a drug addict. His daddy was a moonshiner, and he lived in a rough part of Alabama. He was lost. His family was lost. And somebody, a boy he went to school with, said, hey, won't you come to church with me? And he got on the school bus that Sunday morning. When he got to church, there was an old granny up on the platform singing a song, and the Holy Ghost got to move, and she got to bob her head, and the bobby pins began to fall. And he said, I don't know what she's got, but that's what I want. And he found his way to an altar, and guess what? God filled him with the Holy Ghost and gave him the same thing that that grandma had. And I said, man, I want to have something to pass on to the next generation. Mom and dads, keep the faith, fight the fight. You got children that are coming. Man, what a sad thing it would be to have your loved ones go to heaven and you end up in hell.
Yes.
Keep the faith.
Keep
fight
the faith.
To fight.
Once delivered to
Cornelius was a Gentile, but he was one of the first apostolics or first Gentiles to receive this apostolic promise.
Yes.
Can I tell you, friend, God keeps perfect record.
Oh, yes.
Amen. God keeps a perfect record. For 38 years, this man watched as others got their healing and went away whole. No doubt some of his friends were among those that got their healing. Yet this man was faithful, even in the midst of his dysfunction.
Yes.
This man was faithful. There's something to be said for people who stay faithful when it seems that everything is turned against them.
Yes.
This man just stayed because he knew, if I can just get in the water, I'll be made whole. Of all the people gathered, Jesus enters in on this certain man.
Yes.
Jesus asked the question, wilt thou be made whole? Jesus is standing in his present predicament, talking to him about a future, and all that God can think about is his past.
Yes.
How many times do we come to church and God is in our present situation?
Yes.
We're in the presence of God even right now, and God is going to take you further, but all you can do is look back at what you already tried to accomplish.
Come on,
You say, God, I can't do that because I tried it before. God, I can never serve you. I tried it and failed. This man, Jesus looked at him and said, wilt thou be made whole? I read a little frustration in this man's voice. How do you know that even faithful people can become frustrated? But can I caution you? Be careful in your frustration. Moses got frustrated. He smote a rock when he was supposed to speak to the rock. And it cost him the promised land. Be careful in your frustration.
That's right.
That you don't charge God foolishly.
That's right.
We're all going to go through things. Jesus said it. Amen. That you shall have tribulation.
Yes, he did.
Amen. Jesus said that we were going to face some things. And when you get frustrated in your faith, don't take and lash out at God.
Yes.
That's just a little pastoral.
Yes.
This man says, sir, according to protocol, we have to wait until the water is troubled.
Put you in.
When the water is troubled, well, then I have no man to help me.
Yes.
I believe this morning we would see God do a whole lot more if we would just let God be God and stop trying to control how we think He is supposed to work.
Amen.
God, you didn't do it the way I thought you were going to do it, so you must not have done it. We've got to take God out of the box.
That's right.
The Bible said He's able to do exceedingly above anything we can ask or even think. Amen. Don't let it God to your little, you know, 9 to 7 1/4, I think, 7 1/4, 9. Amen. Don't put God in there and limit to Him.
That's right.
That's where people mess up the Trinitarian doctrine. They start limiting God.
That's right.
They say, well, He can't be in heaven and earth at the same time. Well, my God can't, because He's on my presence.
Sure,
He's been everywhere at the same time.
He is.
One man said, when He gets there, He's already been there. When He goes back, He's still where He was.
That's right.
Amen.
Don't put God in a little preconceived ideal on how God is supposed to work. Amen. Just let God do what He wants to do. God told the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 55:9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Stop trying to fit God into your plans and start putting yourself in God's plan. Evelyn Underhill said, if God were small enough to be understood, He would not be big enough to be worshipped.
That's right.
If God were small enough to be understood, He would not be big enough to be worshipped.
Thank you,
Jim. I imagine there's mysteries that God's got that
I don't understand
yet.
That's right.
The Bible says we see through that darkly. But then we shall be known and shall see face to face. Amen. God woke me up this morning and gave me a word He said your miracle is just beyond your excuse.
All right.
Amen. We'll tie God's hands with our excuses.
Oh, Jesus, help us.
I know, especially you elders, probably remember that song, Excuse, and Excuse says, you're the living dead. The devil will supply them to keep the church away. And when
someone comes to know the Lord,
the devil always loses.
Yes.
So to keep the folks away from the church, he offers different excuses.
That's right.
The verses were really funny, but
Man,
the devil
will
give you all kinds of excuses. One of the greatest excuses we find in our world today, we have transgenders and we have homophobia and homosexuals running around like crazy. They say, well, I was born this way. Mm-hmm. Well, that's why the Bible said to be born again.
That's right.
Amen. You need to be reborn.
Reborn, that's
the water of the Spirit.
Yes.
Amen. Take and bury that nature.
Right.
AA and NA. Say, once an addict, always an addict.
Right. I say, nay, nay.
You know what? I don't want to be an addict. I did.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely apostolic.
That's right. Absolutely.
And I'm addicted to Jesus.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, let me just take a moment to introduce myself. Hi, my name is Thomas Hunter, and I'm an apostolic.
Yes.
Amen.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Lord.
What about the covenant?
Amen. I'm addicted to the Lord.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. They would say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is God.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Taste and see.
Amen. Just one sip. And satisfy your thirst. But then you got to take it. You got to go back.
That's right. Go back.
Amen. The Bible said be drunk or be filled with the Spirit.
Yes.
Or be not drunk with wine where it is an excess, but be filled
with
the Spirit.
Yes. The new wine.
Now, I don't know very many people that get drunk on one drink, one sip, one shot.
That's right.
But then you have to go back.
Have to keep going
back. And then finally you find yourself liberated, and you're intoxicated.
Yes.
But it wasn't just a one-shot deal.
That's right.
Amen. When you get filled with the Spirit, it's because you keep going back and getting another dose and getting another refilling and letting God fill you up.
Yes.
Life has a way of emptying your cup.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. The Apostle Paul said it like this. He said, I die daily. But it was also Paul that said, I'm glad that I speak in tongues more than you all. Amen. We've got to crucify our flesh, but we also have to raise our spiritual man.
Yeah.
Amen. Brother Texter talked about it last Sunday, I believe it was, that Jesus was speaking. He said, well, the Spirit is going out of the man and walks through dry places. And then he comes back to the house, or comes back to the place that he was evicted from. And then he looks and says, oh, I found it clean and garnished. Luke says it's clean and garnished, but Matthew adds in that it's empty.
It's empty, yes.
Amen. Good. Now, I'm not throwing any rocks at Brother Daniel. He was a kid when they told him that he needed the Holy Ghost. He said, well, I got it one time.
Yes.
Amen. I'll bet you got it the first time, but you got to keep getting it.
Keep it full. That's right.
Amen. Because you don't want to take and defeat the Holy Ghost and then the house is empty and the devil goes, oh, look there.
Yes.
We're going to go back into there with seven more. Every wicked in itself. Amen. We got to keep the Holy Ghost alive and fresh in our life. The Bible says,
right.
Pray, amen, and renew yourself in the Holy Ghost.
In the Holy Ghost, that's right.
Amen. The Bible talks about singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs.
Spiritual songs.
Some people don't even. They can sing all other kind of stuff.
Go ahead.
Amen.
Yes.
They ain't lifting nobody.
It's feeding the wrong spirit, yes.
Amen. Be careful what you introduce to your earbuds, you know why?
That's right.
That's the closest to your brain.
Yeah.
Every time you put trash in your ears, it's going to go into your noggin.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a trashy noggin.
Yeah.
Amen. Be careful what you look at. It goes right into your into your skull. The Bible says the eyes are the windows of the soul.
Windows of the soul. That's right.
Amen. Be careful. We used to sing when I was a kid, be careful little eyes what you see.
See, yes.
Be careful little eyes what you see. For the Father up above is looking down at us. Oh, little eyes, be careful what you see.
Yeah.
Amen.
Careful.
Be careful what you put in.
Yeah.
The Bible says not what goes in a man that defiles a man, but what comes out.
That's right.
If you put the trash in, trash is going to come out.
Trash is going to come out.
Amen. You can't have good water and bitter water in the same fountain.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Let me get back to this. Lord, we're going to hit a rabbit. The Bible talks, the Bible takes and tells us that Jesus makes us a new creature.
Yes.
He said, "Behold, all things are passed away, and all things are become new."
Become new, yes.
Amen. Are you tired of the way you're living? Are you tired of the life you're living? Amen. Can I introduce you to a God who can take and change your life? Don't let your excuse cause you to miss your miracle.
That's right. That's right.
All we can see here this morning, amen, we can make excuses of why we can't receive the Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes.
Jesus said it is the gift of God.
That's right.
Do you like this?
Sure. Amen.
Oh, I'm telling you, if we had some kind of big promotion, and we said that everybody that comes to church next Sunday is going to get a big old gift, you imagine how many people we would have?
Yes.
Amen. They want to come just to get that gift.
Yes.
I find that a lot of people are in the church just to see what they can get from the church.
That's right.
Amen. They're not here to give in, but they're here to take away. Amen. And I'm glad you're here. I don't care what the reason is. Amen. I don't think we have any of those type of people here. But, you know, being a pastor, I have met them.
Yes.
Amen. Some people are just hanging out for the handout.
Yes.
Amen. But I'm glad that we got people that come to worship the Lord. And they come and they pour out their spirit unto God and say, "Lord, give to me of me so I can have more of you."
More of you, yeah. More of you, Lord.
But you can see here this morning, you can make excuses. "Well, Brother Hunt, you just don't know my past life. Brother Hunt, you just don't know who I was before I repented. And you don't know who I was before I got baptized. You don't know the sins that God buried in the watery grave of baptism. Brother Hunt, you don't know the kind of person I am outside of these walls. Brother Hunt, you don't know the kind of person I am when I'm on the job site. Brother Hunt, you don't know the kind of person I am when I'm around other people. Brother Hunt, you just don't understand who I am." But can I tell you this morning, friend, God does know who you are, and God sees everything. God knows who you are outside these walls. God knows who you are when you step to that job site. God knows who you are when you get around the Lord's friend. Can I tell you, friend, God still said you can have the gift of the Holy Ghost. Don't excuse yourself from this gift.
All right, yes.
People want to give you stuff and you're like, "Oh, well, you know, I mean, it's nice, but no thank you." And all the while you're just about drooling. Amen. If I came up to you and said, "Hey, I'm going to take you to the car lot, you just pick out anything you want, and I'm going to pay for it." Now, I'm sure some people are humble enough, and they would probably go, "Well, you know, I'll take this over, you go."
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. Amen. But I'm paying for it. Get what you want.
Yes.
Amen. If there was somebody that had millions of dollars, and they wanted to buy me something, they said, "Don't worry about the cost, don't worry about the price, you just go get what you want."
Yes.
Brother Hunt's about to have $1 million pre-boss. Mother home. Do I need it? No, I don't need it. If he don't cut the check for it, he wants to.
Yes.
And that's the way God, he wants to bless me, so God bless him. Have at it, brother.
Amen. Yes.
You know, I try to be more modest than that. Amen. And that's what God did.
Amen.
Amen. He took and opened his checkbook and said, "Just name it. What do you want? Just name it. I'll cut the check." Mm-hmm. The problem is a lot of times we're not putting anything in to get anything out. Cornelius, I told you a while ago, his prayers came up as an honor and a memorial before the Lord. He had a stockpile of investment.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
The poor lady in front of me at the bank or the ATM this morning, I went to go get my tithes money. And she put her card in, she punched the number, and she pushed the deal, and it kicked the card back, and she took and stuck the card back in. I don't know if she went through, you know, if they got the pre-selected options, 200, you know, 60, whatever, and she's pushing this one, it didn't work, so she put it back in with the next one. and she finally gave her some money. I don't know. And she got like four times up there. Ma'am, if you let me, I'd go in front of you and I'd get mine out and you could just go back to playing with the machine. But she got whatever she got. I mean, she left and I went up. And you can't get stuff out of the bank if you don't have nothing in it.
Right.
And then this morning, when it spit it out, it was all clumped together because it was new bills. I got in, I tried to count it, and it didn't count right. So when I got in the truck, or the Jeep, I'll tell you, okay, that's right. I was like, I don't know who I'm supposed to call. This thing said to hook the Publix. I don't know how I'm going to Publix. I had a machine out there cheating $20. But you can't get nothing out of nothing you don't put nothing into.
Right. That's right.
Amen. That's why it's important the way you're baptized.
Right.
Yes. Amen. We had a guy that had a temper violence. And he would ride his motorcycle by and he would go and park a little ways up the road and kind of, he'd put his kickstand down and lean against his motorcycle. And we, for 47 nights, we had a temper violence.
Wow.
And he stopped many nights. Well, then we were getting ready for some kind of, I guess, an anniversary service or something. And we was doing a church-wide cleanup and had a bunch of people there. And he showed up and we started talking and I invited him to come eat a hamburger with us. And he came in and ate with us. And then we was walking around and he looked at the church sign. And he goes, oh, you have church tomorrow? I said, yes, sir. He said, can I come to church? I said, man, you just ate my hamburger. I'd be offended if you didn't. And we laughed and he came to church. Well, it just so happened that Sunday morning I got up and I preached on 7 steps to backsliding. I got through 4 steps in about 1 hour and 15 minutes. And I said, well, we're going to have to shut this down maybe two tonight. The Lord allow us to finish it up, the next 3 steps. He came to me after church and he said, man, I ain't never heard no preaching like that. He said, I'm coming back to you tonight to hear the conclusion of the matter. And so the Lord allowed us Tuesday night to finish it. We did the other 3 points. And he started coming pretty regularly. He heard preachers preach. He heard me preach about being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And he heard about, you know, you can't be baptized in the titles and different things. And he came to me. We had a baptism scheduled that evening. That morning, we had Sunday morning church. And we had Sunday night church that morning. He came to me. He said, Pastor, he said, from what I understand, he said, the way y'all talk, my baptism is no good. I said, well, Budge, how were you baptized? He said, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I said, to be honest with you, Budge, it ain't no good. He said, why? I said, Budge, I'm going to write you a check. And I said, I want you to take it down there to the bank. I said, I'm just going to sign pastor on there. And you go cash that. He said, that won't work. I said, why won't it work? He said, that's not your name. I said, okay. I said, well, why don't I just write father down there? I said, you know, I've got some kids. That means I'm a father. He said, that's not going to work. That's not your name. I said, well, I'll just sign a son. I didn't get here by myself. I got a dad. And so he goes, well, that's not going to work. Oh, I see what you did there. He said, you got room in that tank for one more? I said, you know I do. Amen. And I told him, I said, but you can't draw nothing out of the bank account of heaven unless you put the right name on the check.
Have a name, yes.
Amen. That's why the Bible said in Colossians, everything you do in word and deed, yeah, do it all, yeah, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Amen. When I go to my mom's house and my daddy's house, now, not always, but most of the time when I get there, I walk straight into the kitchen. And I just pop open the refrigerator. Now, I can't go to Brother Skinner's house and do that.
Yeah, you can't go to it.
Because we don't have that relationship. He gave me permission, so next time when I come over there, I'm just going to crack it open.
Help yourself.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, I've been over Bill Tanson enough, and he's given us permission. Yeah. Last night, I went over there and got me a bottle of water.
Yes.
Yeah, but you go to somebody's house that you don't really know them, you just don't go to the refrigerator and open it up.
That's right.
Because you don't have that kind of relationship.
Right. Yes.
But I have that kind of relationship at home. I can just walk in there and open the refrigerator, have to bite off a little dog. but I can just go over to the refrigerator. And Mom got all them nasty drinks, so I don't usually get nothing. But back in the day, it's to keep you hoos and stuff in there. Oh,
yeah.
Get one.
Yeah.
But it's because I have that relationship.
Right. Yes.
You have that right relationship. The Bible says that He gave them power to become the Son of God.
Yes.
Yeah,
sons of God.
What did the Bible say? When do you receive power? After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
That's right. On the phone.
When you get the Holy Ghost and you get it filled with the Spirit,
yes,
and you have the evidence of speaking in other tongues,
yes,
that gives you a new level.
That's right.
That you can walk in.
Yes.
Into
right.
the presence of God.
Right.
I come humbly as your son.
Yes.
Asking for this.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Don't excuse yourself from your miracle this morning.
That's right.
The Bible says in Acts 2:39, "For the promise is unto you and to your children."
Right.
Amen. To you and to your children.
Yeah.
If you have the Holy Ghost this morning, guess what? It's already a promise to your children.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
And to all.
Your children.
I always want to say this. I heard many people say this. You know all women in Greek? All.
Everybody.
Everybody. Whosoever. None excluded.
That's right.
That are far off. You know when Peter said this, that was us. We were the far off ones.
Yes, you were.
Amen. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. It's your gift. It's for you this morning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. I know I'm talking about the Holy Ghost, but guess what? If you need healing, that's part of that.
Right.
Amen. If you need to sanctify yourself,
yes.
Lay some things aside.
Yes.
Amen. You need to evict some things out of your life.
Help us, Jesus.
That's all part of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen. Your miracle is just beyond your excuse. You say, Brother Hunt, I didn't come from a Christian home. I didn't come from a good background. This man spent 38 years at this pool. Amen. My dear wife spent 38 years in the world before she ever came to the church. Amen. God did a great work in her life.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Lord.
All right. Amen. If you knew her, my dad, before he passed, gave her one of the best compliments, I think, that he probably ever handed anybody. Because he met her years ago. And then he told her, he said, I remember what you looked like when you and Thomas first met. And to see you now,
yes,
you are a beautiful picture of God's holiness.
All right. Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you.
And guess what? She doesn't live that way because of me.
That's right.
She asked me, what do you believe? I said, I'm not going to tell you.
Yes.
I said, you got to get it for yourself.
Yeah, right.
Because if you get it for yourself, if I drop over dead, you're going to continue to live that.
That's right. That's right.
But if you're doing it just because of me and I drop over dead, you're going to go right back to me.
Yes. Sometimes. Yes.
I've seen a post. Somebody said, why is it when a woman gets ready to leave the church, first thing they do is cut their hair? Young lady that Sister Hunt and I knew very well. She was part of the praise team. And she would sing and worship while she was on the platform. When she come off the platform, there was no more worship. Most of the time it was to the bathroom, to the water fountain, not paying attention, playing on her phone and stuff while you're preaching, things like this.
Oh.
And I told Sister Hunt, I said, I believe that young lady, it's just playing the part to fill the part. Well, I never said that to anybody but my wife. Some time went by, and as it usually happens, I get put as part of the singing, the praise group, and they added me into the praise group. There's that church. And she, I don't know, she got offended or something. She went to the pastor and said, I heard that Brother Hunt said I was playing church. Or she said, I heard that Brother Hunt told you, telling the pastor, that I've been playing church. And the pastor said, Brother Hunt's never said that to me. She said, yeah, but I believe he did. The pastor sat there going, I'm telling you, Brother Hunt has never said anything like that to me about you. Yes, he did. Pastor sitting there looking at everyone. I'm telling you, you're calling me a liar right here, and I'm telling you, Brother Hunt has never. Well, he set her down. Not even an hour and a half, 2 hours later, after she left that meeting, she posted pictures on Facebook of her and her pants and her hair all cut off, like, I'll show him. And I told Sister Hunt, I said, that's what happens when you live it for somebody, and you don't live it for yourself.
Right, right.
Amen. You've got to get your own convictions.
Right, yes.
I know there's certain standards that we preach and we believe, and they're good and they're Bible, and those cannot be contested.
Right.
But there's other things that go above and beyond that God deals with each and every person specifically on. And I believe that. Man, don't do things just because the ministry in this church preaches these things. Do it because you fall in love with Jesus and you want to please Him.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. We talked about it. Brother Texan talked about it. Man, holiness is more than an outward standard.
Yes.
Right.
It's got to be an inward change.
Change of heart. Yes.
Amen. Don't let your life misuse the miracles that God's trying to produce.
Yes.
Not only in your life, but in your family's life.
Yes. Oh,
you know, that's what I'm saying this morning.
Yes.
Your miracle is just beyond your excuse. Jesus looked at that man and said, "Wilt thou be made whole?"
All right.
That's what God is asking the church this morning. Will you be filled with the Holy Ghost? Will you live for Him unashamedly? Will you serve Jesus to the best of your ability? Lord, we stand here this morning and we say, God, we're like that young, like that man that had his young son. He said, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief.
Yes.
We know, we understand that God wants us to be filled with the Spirit. We understand this morning is part of the salvation process. But yet, there's something in there that's blocking us. There's an excuse that we conjure up. Lord, I would, but Jesus looked at some people and He told them, come and follow me. And they said, Lord, I'll follow you, but first, I've got to go do this. First, I've got to go do that. First, I've got to go do this. What do you have hanging around in your life? You say, Lord, I want to serve you, but first, I need to take care of this. You know, you can't take care of things by yourself. People say, oh, I got to get clean to get God. Go get God. God help you get clean.
Right.
And I know AA and Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous and things like this have helped people. Amen. When you go through those programs, they're more like you promised you are an addict. But when you come to Jesus, He will take the addiction away. Amen. I don't know what your addiction is this morning. I just know that there is a God who can take it out of your life this morning. You say, Brother Hunt, I battle with nicotine. Brother Hunt, I battle with pornography. Brother Hunt, I battle with alcohol. God, Brother Hunt, I battle with all these things. But can I tell you this morning, God can take and break those. got to be doing. All you got to be willing to do is get beyond your excuses. Don't let it be a crutch. Don't let it hold you back this morning. Lord, I did my best to preach to these people. God, what I put you laid upon my heart. Lord, as we get ready to open this altar, God, I pray, Lord, that conviction will tug in the hearts. God, of those that are here, God, let us not have excuses.